What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, here on another Widow Wednesday on a Tuesday. That means I'm with the Rogue One at Gary Widow.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. How are you, sir?
I am great, Gary. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, you're having fun out there? You're feeling loose? You're feeling good? You're talking about comic books online? You're talking about you're working on an eight-issue series, miniseries for something online?
I just started details. Today, but yeah, yesterday I really enjoyed my one of the rare days I actually enjoy my job because I finished the script for it and got the issue one under my belt. Seven more to go. Okay. I don't know when they'll announce it, but you'll see it next year. You'll see it in 2022, so I'm excited about that.
As a, you know, I don't want to say founding member of the Legion of Gary, I am excited to see what this will be. Of course, you know,
are you a founding member?
Your fans, just like me, of Log will be with you forever, no matter what you go and do.
I have to go back and check the check your credentials on that. But I do, you do, you. I know that you do. Kinda Funny Games does subscribe to the channel, so I'll give you credit for that.
Thank you very much. I didn't think there was much else I had to do to be a member of the Legion of Gary. You know what I mean?
To be a founding member, you have to be there from the very beginning.
I was. What do you mean? I've been supporting you forever. I was there in your old boring ass. Listen,
I have access to very detailed analytics. I'll go check it out for you.
Good. Go ahead. I dare you to run the numbers.
I think the numbers are bad for you, Greg.
You don't think I was going to back up the story, Baron?
The numbers are not going to back you up.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Gary, what have you been playing? What's been happening? What's happened in the week since you and I last talked?
I got sucked into Death's Door. What a game.
Ooh, hell yeah. Very nice. And did that happen after your X-Caster?
Here's the thing. So I started playing it on Saturday morning. And I was like, I don't know, is this for me? Everyone's talking about it. I kind of feel like I need to at least check it out. And I got sucked into it a little bit. I thought, you know, let me play some of this on stream. And so I took it to the stream. And actually, it's one of those games that's actually really good to play on a stream because you've got people in the chat that maybe they've already finished the game or they know the game a little better. They can always give you hints and things like that. I'll say this. Had people told me ahead of time that it was in any way Soulsy, I would not have gone anywhere near it because I don't like punishing games. But I'm glad that that didn't happen because the difficulty level, while it is quite a punishing game, and, you know, it takes, for me at least, because I'm not great at these kind of games, took me, I think I've downed five bosses now, and anywhere between like 5 and 20 tries. The most recent one took me about 30 tries. I was this close to giving up. But it's like, I feel like the difficulty is dialed just right for me. You know, like, it's like, oh, fuck this boss, but like, give me one more try at it.
That's what you want, right?
And then when you finally get it, like, you feel really that great sense of achievement. I'm digging it. And, you know, the world is gorgeous. It's a beautiful looking game, great music. I understand when Paris was saying last week on the X-Cast that he thought it would be in the Game of the Year conversation. Sure, I can see it. I can absolutely see it. Really,
the big
really
question
fun.
Is now, Gary, now that you've discovered the Elixir of Souls games, you need to jump into Demon's Souls? Or what are you doing here? You getting Dark Souls? What
do
you
want to
get?
Do not come need on. To go anywhere huh? near. Bloodborne Soul gone? Z. Soul Z, I can huh? maybe take. Souls, huh. no thank you.
Not your jam. Not going to be your thing.
The other thing is really, really stingy with achievements, Greg. I don't usually really care about achievements, but five bosses in, not a single achievement. What the fuck
you
is that?
You hate to see it. You hate to
give
see it.
Give me something.
And this
I like those games that give you like 10 Gs just for pressing start, you know?
Of course. You feel good. You've accomplished
something. Give me a little something. Give me a little tidbit to like get me going.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is just there to grind you into dirt. You know what I mean? Leave you there in the dust. I'm sorry, Gary. Yeah. You'll get some achievements out of it. Though.
I've never played a game so stingy with achievements. I'm actually intrigued to go look up what they are, because if you're not going to give me anything for playing for, I don't know, I must have played for five, six hours over the weekend, downed five bosses, not a single achievement. What the fuck?
I'm on trueachievements.com, where I go to look at all my Xbox achievements, which is true. You got 24 achievements over here for your 1,000. You got, yeah, beat the game, of course. Beat the game only ever using an umbrella as your melee weapon. I will not use any spoilers here, everybody, by the way. Feed a boss a very specific thing. Do something. Yeah, these are like, yeah. Okay.
They're all like wacky achievements, right? They're not just like beat the first boss, beat the second boss.
No, yeah,
like,
there's, you know.
It's they're all kind of crazy.
Upgrade the fire ability, upgrade the bomb ability. Like, they want you to upgrade all your stuff. But like, yeah, listen to this character's magnum opus. Gain a devoted fan. Max out any of the four stats. Purchase 12 stat upgrades.
Yeah, they're pretty. These are like some sweaty achievements. These aren't just like congratulations on playing the game achievements, like a lot of games give you.
Here's
a lot
I'll
of games
though,
have
right?
a mix of both, right? They give you the easy ones to kind of get you in, start the trail of breadcrumbs, but then there's always a few on the back end that are like, shit, now I got to go do these. These are all like that. These are all the tricky ones. It's very
well. Here's the thing: as I'm reading it, like,
things, like Nino says.
I was gonna say, Barrett, you can definitely chime in here in a second because I know you have beaten it and you didn't get the true ending, right? You stopped short of that because it was gonna be.
Yeah, there is one thing to get to the true ending, or I was like, I don't. There's no good way to track this.
So then, yeah, my thing of looking through this is it doesn't seem like a punishing trophy list as much as it is like it wants you to do very specific things and do, you know, obviously, you know, upgrade all your shit, which means you're going to be playing a lot. But then there is one here. And I'm sorry, achievement list. The true ending is a 100G secret achievement.
I got to say, I am enjoying it. I say that as someone who doesn't like boss fights in games. I was complaining on the stream over the weekend. Is it after like 40 something years of game design, are we really still fighting bosses? Is that the best idea that we've come up with for like game design? Like, oh, now you have to fight the big guy and he's got special ways to beat him. And I know there's been a lot of innovation within that idea. Like fighting bosses now is more interesting than it was 30, 40 years ago. But it's like, really, like we still haven't like evolved to like a post boss game design universe. And maybe that's okay. But for someone who doesn't love boss fights, It's not my favorite thing. But again, I'll say that the best compliment I can give Death's Door, and I will be interested to talk to Barrett and Paris and people who have played it now that I've have a, you know, a common frame of reference with them, is the boss fights are, I think, are really, really well done. They're classic kind of old school boss fights, and I just feel like the difficulty is dialed just right. It's like you rage quit, but then 30 seconds later you're like, no, fuck, this game's not gonna beat me. I'm gonna beat it. Yeah, it's dialed just right. I like that.
It's a fine line to walk for a boss fight, but what you want, right, is to be that, all right, that's on me. You know what I mean? I should have dodged here instead of ducking there. I understand why I screwed this up. I'm ready to go back and try again.
Yeah, and it's so clever. One of the things that it does that I like is that the bosses don't have health bars. The amount of damage you do on them is reflected like in their actual appearance. Like you can kind of see them taking more damage and it's like, oh, he looks like he's really close, but I'm not sure if he's, you know, one hit away yet. Like on a health bar, you would know, right, that he's one hit. But you kind of have to get, like when you die and you're like, oh shit, maybe I was only one hit away. That kind of adds to the sense of frustration, but in a good way. I like it a lot. It'll definitely be on my Game of the Year shortlist, I think.
Before we get into the actual news of the day, one quick one from the nanobiologist himself says, Gary, some quick achievements you can get now are by talking again to the sidekicks you meet in each area. Talking to them after beating the boss gives you an achievement.
Oh, cool. Okay, that's a good tip. Thank you. I'll go
do
that.
Don't knock them out. That's what Nano's here for. He's a good person. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to talk about some news. Blizzard's president is gone. There's a new 2K franchise coming in, and Master Chief is coming to a car near you. We're going to tackle all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. Of course, you could also get all of those benefits and more for stuff like the Kinda Funny Games cast. Of course, recording live today on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can still write in to be a part of it. But if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, no big deal. You can watch us record Kinda Funny Games Daily Live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames each and every weekday, just like Brand Matt's Frankfurter and the Time Lords 12 are. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. Right now, there's a brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO out. It's talking about the continued dominance of the PlayStation 5 and why, no matter how many things Sony drops the ball on, it keeps happening. You can catch me and Blessing talking about it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, podcast services around the globe. On top of that, like I said, the Kinda Funny Games cast is recording this afternoon, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, if you want to watch it live or write in to be a part of it. On top of all that, if that wasn't enough, we are once again reminding you, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We have put up the new platinum tier item. It is an amazing piece of art celebrating Nick and Porty in Rick and Morty styles. It's probably one of my favorite ones Rain's done since they started doing these for us. So you can get that, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames at the platinum tier level. Thanks to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash and Honey, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be The Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Gary, 1 week ago, you came to Kinda Funny Games Daily for a Widow Wednesday on Tuesday, as you do every Tuesday for Widow Wednesday, and you said, this Activision Blizzard stuff is bullshit. And I echoed it, but you were much louder about it. You were taking them to task. You were saying heads must roll. And today we have first blood from the executive team over there. J. Allen Brack is out at Blizzard. We are reading from Jason Schreier at Bloomberg. Blizzard president J. Allen Brack is leaving the company amid a cultural reckoning at parent Activision Blizzard Incorporated over a California lawsuit alleging sexual discrimination and harassment. Brack's departure was disclosed in an email to staff Tuesday, which was reviewed by Bloomberg. Brack will be replaced by Jen O'Neill and Mike Ybarra. Am I saying Mike Ybarra right? I've met him once or twice, but Gary, he came from the old Xbox world, right? Ybarra?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one. I think
the
so.
The new kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm like 90% sure, but I want to make sure. Mike Ybarra, the new co-leaders of Blizzard. The shares were down more than 4% in the first hour of trading Tuesday. Blizzard, maker of Warcraft and Diablo games, was the main subject of accusations contained in the lawsuit from a California state agency. Many of the allegations took place before Brack was named president in 2018. Still, Brack came under intense scrutiny after the complaint was filed over his leadership style. A video of Brack at a company event in 2010 resurfaced on social media, showing him on a panel with colleagues laughing off a question from a woman about the sexualization of female characters in the World of Warcraft game. Of course, we've talked about this video before. I forget if we've watched any kind of funny games daily, but it's been mentioned pretty much every time we bring this up. A harrowing video. Shout out to Kotaku. They put up an article yesterday with the woman in the video. They tracked her down to get her comments on this and everything going from it. And what's fascinating to read about is, as you go through that, right, I love the perspective of her and how honest she is about being in that moment. Because it is that thing of like, people have said, you know, why did she respond or why did she do this, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's this idea she talks about of she's in line, she's trying to come up with this question, she gets up there, she's nervous, she responds, she says it, they respond with a joke, you know, people are trying to usher her off, the crowd boos her for this. And like, one of the main things she was talking about that I loved in terms of the initial reaction wasn't even so much the panel's response as much as the panel not stepping up and saying, hey, shut the fuck up. Don't boo somebody for asking a question like this during a panel. I think it's a great read in terms of a window into not only, hey, this is a shitty situation as you already knew, but hey, why didn't somebody on that panel say, at the very least, shut these people up, like tell everybody to stop booing and stand up for what's right. But maybe I'm on a soapbox. I'll stop for right now and get back to the article. I apologize. O'Neill ran an Activision game studio called Vicarious Visions before joining Blizzard as an executive in January. Ybarra worked at Microsoft Corp for nearly 20 years and managed Xbox Online Services before going to Blizzard in 2019. In a statement, Brack said his successors, quote, can be trusted to lead with the highest levels of integrity and commitment to the components of our culture that make Blizzard so special, end quote. Nanobiologist has my correction. It's Ybarra. Thank you very much. Jason Schreier, of course, someone who wrote the article from Bloomberg right there, also had a tweet timeline of things involving everything that's gone on. And I wanted to get that out before we even get into discussion. All right. So from Jason's Twitter, I will read a timeline that will help clarify some things. 2007 to 2008, Activision and Vivendi Games / Blizzard merge. Blizzard largely left autonomous. 2013, Bobby Kotick buys out Vivendi and seizes control of Activision Blizzard. Soon begins installing his own lieutenants at Blizzard. 2017 to 2018, with Blizzard revenues tanking, Activision starts pushing the company to cut costs, produce more games at a faster pace. 2018, Morheim, sick of Kotick, resigns. Brack takes over. 2018 to 2020, Blizzard's reputation smacked by Diablo Immortal, Blitzchung, and Warcraft 3 Reforged. 2019 to present, Activision begins eliminating and consolidating many of Blizzard's non-game dev roles, closing offices in France and the Netherlands. 2021, lawsuit reveals that Blizzard has had problems with sexual discrimination and abuse for years, both pre- and post-Activision. Today, Kotick ousts Brack, which both shows that he's taken action and gives him an opportunity to exert even more control over Blizzard's operations. TBD whether Blizzard will become a healthier workplace for women, but it will definitely become a very different company. Gary, 1 week ago, you come out here and you say, everybody's got to go. We got to gut this. We got to get all the poison out from the inside. This has happened now. What is your reaction?
I have better luck taking down hard to kill bosses in real life than I do in video games.
Bada bing, bada boom. You know what I mean? There it is. Like Gary that? With the one liner, ready to go.
No, I didn't say anything last week that a lot of other people weren't saying. I maybe went a little bit further than some others by saying, like, all the senior management needs to go. Kotick, sure. Brack, Townsend, they all need to go. For the simple, I mean, they've been there for a long, long time. Kotick, you know, the longest of all, I think. And you cannot, this is the thing I don't understand. When a company's culture is exposed as so deeply dysfunctional and toxic and polluted and dangerous and hostile as Activision Blizzard's, how can the person who presided over that culture for many years and essentially and is the one person who is the most responsible for that culture, how can they be in any way trusted to repair it or make it right when they're the ones that are responsible for it being fucked up in the first place? How, I mean, I do understand it, but like in a just world, the idea that that Bobby Kotick is still in a job today is outrageous. In almost any other circumstance, if you were found to have done something this egregious at your job, to have fucked up this badly, you security would be walking you out with a cardboard box full of your shit, your fucking action figures in a sad little cardboard box and your pot plant. You'd be, you know, handing in your security credentials. You'd be gone that day. But as we all know, there are different rules for the masters of the universe, people like Bobby Kotick, right? They're untouchable. Sure. And that's why I think it's a good thing that Brack is gone. I said last week, Brack needs to go. Kotick needs to go. They all need to go. And Brack's gone. Whether or not that is, you know, merely a sacrificial lamb, I guess, remains to be seen. I don't, you know, we'll probably never fully understand the politics behind all of this. Is it merely optics? Is it merely damage control? Probably largely so. Yeah, they need to give something up to the, you know, to the gods in order to kind of, you know, atone and make it seem like they're doing the right things here. As much as I said early this morning on Twitter, Kotick needs to go next. He won't. He's untouchable. He's too powerful. He knows where all the bodies are buried. I think even if he were open to the idea of going and the board tried to force him out, it would cost them a fortune. And at the end of the day, he makes them money. And I've said it a million times. That's all they care about.
Let me bring
in. That's the only reason you're seeing any movement now is because the stock price is dropping. They didn't give a fuck until they started losing money. Now suddenly they care.
Well, here, Grezik writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey, Greg and Gary, J. Allen Brack is out of Blizzard. Is there any chance this actually leads to any meaningful change? Realistically, this feels like he's being sacrificed. Don't say scapegoated because it implies he's not responsible for the situation. To appease shareholders, all while affording Bobby Kotick the opportunity to further erode whatever boundaries remain between Activision and Blizzard. Please tell me I'm being too cynical. Thanks for all you do, Grezik." It sounds like you don't think he's being too cynical, correct, Gary?
No, I think if there's ever a time to be really cynical, this is a perfect chance for it. Activision is not a good company. It's not a good force in the gaming industry or in the world. It's a deeply toxic workplace. I don't think they really contribute very much creatively to the gaming world. I mean, like as I said, it's basically a Call of Duty factory at this point. Like, what else do they do of any interest? I'd be fascinated to see like a glimpse at an alternate parallel universe where Activision never stumbled onto making Call of Duty. Like, what would they still be around? What would they be doing if not that? You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting this year, by the way, because the new Call of Duty is the big announce is probably about a month or two away, right? They have to announce it soon. That big Call of Duty game is going to be coming out under a big fucking cloud this year.
But it's to your point, right? This is the crux and core of the argument of into the question of Grezik, right? Of meaningful change. It's going to have a cloud among us, among video game podcasts, among the enthusiasts, the hardcore. This is something we talked about at length on PS I Love You today. Not about the Activision Blizzard stuff, but more about the difference between the people who would go out of their way to, say, watch a Twitch live stream of a podcast or listen to it later or watch it on YouTube, right? Or make it. Like, we consume and live video games in a different way. And then there is the majority, the overwhelming majority in the mainstream that is like, cool, I have no idea who's making my games or what's happening. I'm excited for a Call of Duty. And so you figure, like, to your point, the barnacle people that are horrible over there, that are, you know, the bad part of Activision, are praying they make it that long, that they're able to get to, yes, let's get to the release of a Call of Duty, the announcement of Call of Duty, to jack up the stock, to reinflate the stock price, right? Because even right now, I'm looking at the NASDAQ summary for Activision Blizzard, right? And you can see Friday, July 23rd, it closes at $91.50 a share, right? And then Tuesday, July 27th, it's at $84.05. Then, you know, it's Thursday, $83.57. Monday, August 2nd, $82.76. Today, as of right now, $78.78, right? And I am not a stock guy.
The thing is, it'll bounce back, because unfortunately, we have short memories. All this stuff is ephemeral. Even something as deeply serious as this. You know, Blizzard's been through this before with the Hong Kong stuff and protests out of Blizzard. They're, you know, and then suddenly, like, there's some other shiny object and we all move on to the next thing. This is the case, though, where I feel like if ever there's a time to, like, stay on them and demand meaningful change, now is the time. They got rid of Brack, but this isn't a Blizzard problem. This is an Activision problem. Activision owns Blizzard. Kotick is the man at the top. And if I come back and say again, if he presided over a culture this deeply toxic, either he knew that was the culture and he was fine with it, in which case he's evil and he needs to go, or he didn't know that that was the culture, and as the boss of the company, that makes him grossly negligent and he needs to go. But he won't go because he's too powerful. He makes him too much money. He's too deeply dug in. Like, he's probably the weirdest thing is, even though everyone's got, oh, Kotick this and that, probably got the safest job in America right now. You can't get him out of there. You cannot get him out of there. And it's a real shame, because I don't think he's been a good steward of that company. I often feel about Activision the way I feel about Atari, like a great, great brand name that has just been diminished and diminished and diminished through terrible management over the years. Yes, they make a lot of money, but I feel like they contribute less and less and less. And this is even with the toxic culture aside. I remember when Activision used to be a place that developed all kinds of really diverse and interesting games. Again, now it's just Call of Duty, Call of Duty, Call of Duty, and an occasional like remaster of something, you know, that they did back when the company was still interesting. But he ultimately need to go, but he won't. That's it. He really, really needs to go, but he won't. The only way to restore trust, both for the employees and the public at large, and actually fix the problem, is to bring in someone completely new who has a different perspective on this, who isn't polluted by the sins of the past, and can say, you know what, we're gonna fucking change things around here. You do not ask the person who burned down the house to rebuild it. And that's fucking common sense. But when this much money is involved, common sense doesn't matter anymore.
Here's my thing to Gresik's question, like, you know, is there any chance that this leads to meaningful change? And he's talking specifically about J. Allen Brack leaving. I think there is. I think, again, I am not nearly as cynical or pessimistic as Gresik and Gary come off. And I refuse to live in a world where it is that Bobby Kotick is completely invulnerable to this, and that there isn't a fear and there isn't a situation where the stockholders could get oust him and figure this out. But moving that aside, just move that aside for 1 second. Let's not worry about that. Is there a chance this leads to meaningful change? Yes. I believe there is meaningful change coming to Activision Blizzard, not because of Bobby Kotick, not because of the leadership, not because of these new co-presidents that I don't know anything about, right? None of them doing it. It's about the workers, and it's about them feeling empowered and them understanding that they have a voice in this. We saw it with the walkout last week, and while we've been live, Matt TM Kim writes at IGN.com, Activision Blizzard employees form coalition, reject CEO's choice of law firm. Again, I'm reading live from IGN right now, Matt TM Kim. A coalition of workers from across multiple Activision Blizzard development studios, calling itself ABK Workers Alliance, has sent a joint letter to Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick and his executive leadership team, criticizing the decision to hire the law firm WilmerHale as a third-party auditor to review the company and ensure a healthier workplace. In the letter provided to IGN, employees from across the company's studios, including Activision, Beenox, Blizzard Entertainment, High Moon Studios, Infinity Ward, King, Sledgehammer Games, Raven Software, and Vicarious Visions, have expressed regret that recent actions from CEO Bobby Kotick did not, quote, meaningfully address workers' demands following last week's high-profile employee walkout. As you know, last week, Activision Blizzard employees produced an open letter and walked out as a way to push for changes to Activision Blizzard's working culture following a lawsuit from the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, claiming Activision Blizzard consistently mistreats female and minority workers. Activision Blizzard employees also published a list of demands with a view towards protecting vulnerable employees. These requests included ending forced arbitration in employee agreements, adopting inclusive hiring and recruiting practices, increasing pay transparency, and an audit performed by a neutral and third party. In response, CEO Bobby Kotick sent a letter to employees saying the company's initial response to the CDFEH's lawsuit against Activision Blizzard for gender discrimination was tone deaf. As part of the process to improve working conditions, Kotick announced that the law firm WilmerHale, led by partner Stephanie Avakian, will conduct third-party audit of the company and policies and procedures. WilmerHale is the subject of the ABK Workers Alliance new letter to Kotick and Activision Blizzard leadership. On the demand to bring in a third-party auditor, the ABK Worker Alliance says it rejects the selection of WilmerHale for several reasons. This includes WilmerHale's conflicting interest due to its pre-existing relationship with Activision Blizzard and its executives, WilmerHale's history of discouraging workers' rights and collective action, and Stephanie Avakian's history of protecting the wealthy and powerful. The ABK Workers Alliance letter calls on Kotick and the executive leadership team to fully address the list of demands. The employees have also outlined steps they are taking internally to improve their workplace, including worker-to-worker mentorships, open listening sessions, and community meetings. IGN has learned that Activision Blizzard leadership has received the letter and is currently reviewing it. They have the entire letter published here, which is much longer and goes through, obviously, more detailed stuff. The WilmerHale stuff, right? When they got announced that they were going to be doing this as the lawyers, everybody was like, they're the union busting law firm, right? They're the ones that come in to make sure people don't unionize and don't do it. So taking that, which I know is a story all its own, but bringing it into this question with Grezik and meaningful change, that's meaningful change. Meaningful change is these workers understanding that they have a spotlight right now and a microphone, and this is the chance to scream from the mountaintops that they won't accept business as usual. They won't go back to how it was. And I know that that's terrifying. And this is where we come back around, Gary, right, to what you're always talking about with unions, which is, one person can be fired, pushed away, tossed aside, right? But if you band together, right, you become one thing where you are doing collective bargaining, where you are making demands as one, then you have the workforce power to make management listen. Am I wrong about that?
Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. You know, the Kotick letter that came out, first of all, the whole Fran Townsend thing drives me fucking crazy.
She's got to fucking go.
She's got to fucking go. She puts out a tone deaf letter and then she starts tweeting stuff about, you know, the dangers problem of whistleblowing, which is exactly what got us to this.
Actual demons running this company.
I mean, and again, anyone else who wasn't in a position of being like protected because they're so high up the chain would have been out the door by now. Do you think that she was called into Kotick's office by
just
that? Can you imagine a scene where Kotick has her in his office? Fran, what the fuck do you think you were doing? The company's in a really precarious position right now. And you're putting out these bullshit tweets and blocking employees on Twitter? Pack your shit and go. Conversation like that has happened? Of course, fuck.
No, of course not. But if you missed this, I want to read from Kotaku, because Kotaku has this one up from Luke Plunkett. This went up on Sunday. Activision Blizzard's torture apologist executive is now blocking employees on Twitter. Over the weekend, amidst all the turmoil and toxic publicity being generated by the investigation and subsequent lawsuit from the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing over the company's abusive workplace conditions, Activision Blizzard's Fran Townsend thought it would be the perfect time to tweet, quote, "the problem with whistleblowing," end quote. To recap, this is a woman who, in the wake of the DFEH's suit becoming public, sent an email to staff calling it meritless and was so widely criticized it was specifically mentioned as a cause of last week's walkout. While calls for her removal
sacking offense, Greg, it's a sacking offense. I mean, that's stupid.
Calls for her removal from her position as sponsor for the company's women's network are also increasing. In a previous and more public position prior to her appointment in March as Activision Blizzard's vice president of corporate affairs, corporate secretary, and chief compliance officer, Townsend once served assistant to the president for Homeland Security and counterterrorism during the Bush administration, where she was responsible for stuff like this. And then it's a bunch of different things here, right? She was one of the big boosters behind raising the national, quote, terror threat level during the Bush's close 2004 reelection campaign, based on 3-year-old evidence, decision Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge later said he was politically pressured into making, and then it goes on of all the stuff she did over there that was fucked up too.
This is why I say don't listen to what they say, watch what they do, because... Yeah. Kotick had to, again, when the stock price started to drop, that's the only thing that moved him. Notice in the initial days and weeks, the top man, the head of the company, the person who is chiefly responsible, not a word out of him, right? Because he's like, I'll just keep my head down, this will blow over. Because he doesn't really care about anything other than himself and his own remuneration and his yachts and his fucking houses and all that. But he doesn't care how many fucking suffering, miserable employees he has to step over to enrich himself. don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. Because again, when I read that Kotick letter, I'm like, I could be reading any one of these other letters.
Oh, yeah.
In the recent, oh, we're going to step back and listen and it's time for change. Just send it straight to the trash. That shit is boilerplate. Don't even read it. It's not worth the fucking paper it's written on. Watch what they do. And so far, what they have done is brought in a company which has a long and ignominious history of siding with top executives and slapping down and disenfranchising employees. So, I mean, what, you know, we're not fucking stupid. We can see what you're doing. Activision Blizzard is a deeply, deeply damaged company right now. They've got serious fucking problems. World of Warcraft is going in the tank. A once great game, one of their biggest cash cows. People are leaving it in droves, not just because of the toxicity issues, but that's also part of it. People were leaving before that because the game is just bad now. And there are, and for the first time in a long time, there are better options available. There are other MMOs out there that people are enjoying playing more. They took one of the crown jewels of gaming and they fucked it up. World of Warcraft is really, really struggling right now. And I get it. It's hard for a big MMO to stay on top for as long as it has. But they have systemic management issues. And maybe it is all part of the toxicity. Maybe that kind of entitlement that you get at the top, or the kind of stuff that you can read in the government's letter, that's just sitting around playing Call of Duty all day and they don't give a fuck. That's toxic, but it's also maybe the reason why their games are becoming more and more shit and people are losing interest in it. Either way, I'll come back to the same point. This will only change when there is a complete clear out of all the top executives who are responsible for this. Brack needs to be the first of many fucking dominoes to go, and not just a "Are you happy now? We got rid of someone," yeah, kind of token thing. That's what I suspect it will be. I think there's a chance that Fran Townsend loses her job
She has to.
I don't. But as much as Kotick is the person who needs to go the most. Because you can't, once you get to Kotick, his desk, that's where the buck stops. He can't say, "Oh, well, it was this person or that person." Well, you fucking hired that person. So ultimately, it all comes back to you anyway. You were asleep at the switch. Either you were negligent or you didn't care. Either way, this is not good enough. And again, the problem is, as long as they're making money, there will not change. The only reason why you're seeing change now is they're starting to lose money.
And they will probably continue to lose money, right? I know that there's this ongoing debate of like, well, what can one fan do with your money and yada, yada, right? It comes into bigger partnerships. Over in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, Charles Jacobson slipped me this link from Dextero.com. T-Mobile disappears as CDL and Overwatch League sponsor amid Activision Blizzard lawsuit. I'm reading again from Dextero. This is Theo Salone. In the wake of Activision Blizzard's ongoing discrimination lawsuit, it appears that Call of Duty League and Overwatch League have quietly lost their formerly prominent T-Mobile partnership. On July 20th, capping all the stuff we know. Interesting, the league's main non-gaming sponsor, T-Mobile, seemingly disappeared fully during the event, despite it being the most watched broadcast of the season. Oh, this is what was happening August 29th through August 1st. Upon a deeper dive, the T-Mobile logo seems to have been taped over on the players' jerseys, while the brand was removed from all broadcast segments and from the CDL's website. Additionally, that seems to have happened on Activision's sister league, OWL. The above screenshot is them talking about it being removed or whatever. But this is what you're talking about, right, Gary? Where it's like, yeah, lose the big sponsorships, the big deals, the big hits. Get in there and see those people do it, let alone the fact that we're talking about stock prices right now. And as stock falls, we're talking about gamers, right? And the mainstream gamer, Call of Duty person, not knowing. As this then gets out, right, as this story gets bigger, as it gets more mainstream attention, you're getting more of Wall Street's attention, which again then has
that's the great thing about it getting the mainstream attention. I mean, I've seen this, you know, like on national cable news. It's been, you know, it's been picked up when it was in USA Today. This is like the most that something has blown up in a company's face in a long time. And other brands, again, they want to protect their own investments and their bottom line, and they don't want to be associated with a toxic brand. You start to see the power of the consumer as they organize boycotts. Like, one, you know, not playing the Blizzard games is one thing, but like, don't do business with other companies that are doing business with Activision, right? and let them know the reason why. And eventually, if enough people do that and stick to it, you might just start to hit them the only place that matters, which is, you know, in their wallets. I think it's going to be, coming back to it, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with, you know, because right now, I guarantee what they're doing right now is they are in the midst of like preparing their big media marketing reveal rollout for the new Call of Duty game, right? Because it comes regular as clockwork. Because again, we know Activision doesn't innovate anymore. It's included every fucking September or whenever it is, there's a new Call of Duty game. That's all they do. It's literally all they do. It's like fucking Jaws. All that shark does is eat, sleep, and make little sharks. It's all Activision does at this point. It's incredibly predictable. And so with a certain amount of confidence, I can predict that right now the marketing departments at Activision is filled with people going, we have to figure out how to roll out this Call of Duty game under this cloud. Do we have to factor that in now? Do we just ignore this? Do we just go all in? Do we do something? How do we make the best out of this so that we can salvage this year's Call of Duty games? The people at EA have got to be fucking rubbing their hands together right now. It's a very cynical view, but like, how many people are probably thinking, fuck it, I'll just go play. Battlefield looks good already. 2042 looked good before all this. Maybe I'll just switch over there, you know?
Yeah, that is the big question, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we will continue to see the fallout of this lawsuit and see what else happens over there as a company that is Activision Blizzard clearly needs to be shaken up. And we need to obviously support the workers over there. Speaking of supporting the workers, terrible Greg way. Remember, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames is where we ask you to go to be part of the show, to support us and help us make kind of funny content. Of course, if you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get these episodes of Kind of Funny Games Daily with a post show, but more importantly for right now, without ads. But you're not there, Jack. So let me tell you about our sponsors.
This show is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you forget that one thing at the store? Well, now you can get the snacks, drinks, and household essentials that you need in 30 minutes with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want, and your items be left safely outside your door with the contactless delivery drop-off setting. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. For our Canadian listeners, use code GAMESCA. That's 25% off up to $10 in value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021 in the US and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 or GAMESCA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. We're also brought to you by Honey. We all shop online, and we've all seen that promo code feel tonus at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Imagine you're shopping one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for the coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Kind of Funny loves Honey. Tim tells you all the time that you should click that dang Honey button. It saved us a ton of money shopping online, and it can save you money too. Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games.
And it's time for number two on the Roper Report. We're going to talk about a new 2K franchise incoming. This is Tyler Lyles over at IGN.com. Taylor Lyles over at IGN.com. We already know Take-Two Interactive subsidiaries have a slew of projects in the works. And today, we know that Take-Two subsidiary 2K has a new franchise in the works, and it's slated to be revealed later this month. According to Take-Two's first quarter earnings report, 2K's new franchise will be unveiled this month with confirmation that the game will launch sometime during this fiscal year. For context, that means this new original game will launch anywhere between now and March 31st, 2022. The new franchise reveal is part of four, quote, immersive core releases planned for 2022 fiscal year from Take-Two Interactive, which also includes NBA 2K22 and WWE 2K22 from 2K and Visual Concepts, and Tiny Tina's Wonderlands from Gearbox. But Take-Two also has some other games slated to come out this fiscal year, including the independent 2D skateboarding game Olly Olly World, 10 mobile games, in addition to 6 new iterations of prior releases, including GTA 5 for Xbox Series X/S and PS5, a standalone release of GTA Online, Kerbal Space Program Enhanced Edition, as well as 3 games that have yet to be officially announced. Looking into the future beyond the 2022 fiscal year, Take-Two Interactive also has additional games coming from its subsidiaries. This includes a new entry in the BioShock franchise from Cloud Chamber, and rumors suggest that a new entry in Grand Theft Auto may release within the next few years. Gary, can you're one of these guys. you make the movie, you're writing a book, you make a comic book,
making,
you know, you're doing
a
all this
movie.
Different stuff. You were doing like an Italian thing, you're making a movie. What was that?
I mean, I don't know if you've noticed,
love the
I'm
Italian
very
representation.
The screws aren't on tight today. I didn't purposely do it, making a movie, but I think I'm making, you're making
a
movie.
That's the one, a spicy video game.
When you set off to do any of the things you do, do you sit there and go, you know what? I'm not working on one project. I'm launching a new franchise. Do you think about...
No, and that was what was I thought was interesting. That was actually going to be my comment on this, is that you've noticed how the video game industry now has evolved to a point where we don't make games anymore. We don't launch video games. We launch franchise. Everything's a franchise now because, you know, nobody's interested in just making like a one. And it's very similar in films. In my business, so no one's interested, and in television as well, no one's interested in making just like a one and done thing.
Yeah,
it's always like, is it sustainable? Can this be the beginning of, like, when I go pitch a movie these days, or I pitch a TV show, half of it is pitching the movie or the TV show, and then the other half is pitching like how this can be sustainable across multiple iterations. Like, you don't, like, when you pitch a TV show now, you don't just pitch like a pilot or even a first series. You have to pitch like three series to indicate that you've got a roadmap for success. Like, if the show is a hit and people want more, you have to, you know, demonstrate that the show, you know, has a premise and a setup that is sustainable for that. So, oh shit, we've got a hit, but we can't, you know, build it out. We want to know what the spin-offs are. We want to know what, you know, all the franchisability is. It's the same in video games. So when we launch a new franchise, it's also very, very, first of all, I don't know what the alternative is, but it always bugs me every time we use the word franchise or IP. Like, leave that to the lawyers. Those are business terms. Those aren't creative terms. So I don't know what the alternative is. Why you wish, like, I prefer to say like series or universe. I don't know. Something that just doesn't feel like I'm wearing a suit and tie when I talk about franchise and intellectual property and stuff like that. But it's also, it's extremely arrogant, I think, to say, oh, this is our new franchise. Like, what if the first game's a flop? It ain't a fucking franchise then, is it? Because you ain't going to make another one.
Exactly. And you know, this, how many times have you seen that? We see all the time people launch stuff and be like, this is a multimedia actual thing, right? This is going to be huge. This is going to be, I stand, don't get me wrong, but I want you to put down your pitchforks. Honestly, 90% of you probably won't know what I'm talking about, but the 10% of you that didn't loved it, right? I loved Insomniac's Song of the Deep. It was one of those games that was published by GameStop when they were trying to do that thing. I loved it. Even I found it ridiculous that before Song of the Deep was even a thing, they launched it and they had Funko Pops and they had this and they had, they were treating it like it was a Rick and Morty, or like it was this thing that was already established and you knew it was going to be huge. Now, granted, Insomniac don't care, right? Make the money, get what it get, whatever. This is the agreement, get it in GameStop stores, blah, blah, blah. But like Song of the Deep didn't blow up, but like they were all about trying to get that. And I remember, you know, the other side of that is I remember when PlayStation Horizon had already been announced and PlayStation marketing, whoever at the time, was quoted as being like, oh man, we see so much franchise potential, and like we want to do books and we want to do movies and we want to do comics, and it was like, whoa, slow down, is the game going to be good? Obviously that bet worked out, but so many games get announced and launched like that where people are like, oh, this is the next big thing.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's pretty much all there is now. And it's weird because if you think about like two of the biggest franchises in pop culture history, right, from the last 50 years, Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. That was made and largely intended to be one movie. George definitely had ideas for, you know, a wider story, but there's a reason why Star Wars ends in a pretty fucking definitive way, right? They blow up the Death Star, they get their medals, that's the end. If that movie had been only like a middling success or a flop, and they never made another one, it still would have stood on its own as a complete story, the beginning, middle, and end. And the only you know, thing given to the idea there might be more is kind of Darth Vader spinning off, you know, they don't kill him, like they keep it open. It's like, just in case this is a hit, let's leave another door open.
Sure.
Right. But clearly the point was like, we're not assuming we're making a trilogy here. Right. That's why, you know, they ended up kind of making up stuff to some extent as they went along with Empire and Jedi. Look at the MCU, which we now hold up as like the standard bearer of like how you build a franchise. We talk about this all the time in the movie business. People, oh, we want to do another MCU. And Marvel didn't think that way. Marvel wasn't like, oh, we want to build an MCU. They were just like, let's just make Iron Man. Let's make one fucking good movie.
No, they did. They announced that they were doing that, and they had the Easter egg.
There's a reason. Again, there's a reason why that. There's a reason why the whole stuff about the Avengers is stuck away at the end of the credits.
Yeah.
Right? This is going to be the beginning of like a new thing. I'm sure they had ambitions for it, but the point was they didn't build that first movie around the whole idea of like, this is only legitimate if we make a lot more of it.
Okay, that's fair.
Just like the original Star Wars, it stands on its own as a standalone film. It leaves you wanting more, and it suggests there is maybe more to come, and you never definitively close that door. And even if you do, even if you kill off all your characters, I guarantee Hollywood, when there's money to be made, will always find a way to bring them back, always.
It's similar to how Tom Cruise was launching the Dark Universe, and that was a huge hit. Remember when they announced the Dark Universe?
There's a perfect example. Dark Universe, we're going to do all these movies. First one was a flop. That never heard of the Dark Universe.
See you later.
And so, you know, it's a big risk that when you do that, but this is the mold that we're in now. Video games at the AAA, indies are fine, but video games at the AAA level don't get made now just as a one-off. They want to know how this is the first one in a franchise. The first one's always the hardest one to make, right?
Like,
for example, like Outsiders, I'm not saying there'll be one, but like, let's say Outriders 2 will be an easier game to sell and market than the first one, because now it's a known quantity. The first one's always the trickiest one, because like, no one knows what it is. You have to prove it to people. There's no brand awareness behind it. Like, how do you get people to, you know, to pay attention to this? Once you get that first one under your belt and you get to make, you know, Outriders or whatever, Division, whatever, Far Cry, whatever it might be, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then it becomes a known quantity. It's easier to sell each one. I remember when I was editor-in-chief of PC Gamer years ago, Sierra Online, the company that made it back in the day that published it, were begging me to put Half-Life on the cover of PC Gamer. Like, I don't know what the fuck that is. Half-Life, what is that? No one's ever heard of it. It obviously ended up becoming one of the greatest games of all time. When Half-Life 2 came around, we were begging them to get the exclusive on it. And they're like, aha, the shoe's on the other foot now, isn't it? Because once it becomes a proven quantity, it becomes that much easier to make more. So that's all they want. They take a risk on the first game, but only with the assumption that if it is a hit, they can build out and do the 2, 3, 4 thing. Because that's pretty much the entire business model now at the AAA level.
Agreed. Now, all that said, like, there, of course, has been rumors. We thought it was going to maybe be an E3 thing before they were real. They weren't doing like that at E3. But where's this Marvel XCOM game? If the Marvel XCOM game got announced, then clearly that's going to be a franchise. And sign me up. Let's go, baby. Let's go. You know what I'm saying over there? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Gary. Number three on the Roper Report, also out of this same stuff, because there's so much Take-Two news out of this thing. I titled this one, Water Wet, GTA 5 Unstoppable. This is Giuseppe Nelva over at Twinfinite. Today, Take-Two Interactive Software announced new sales numbers for the unstoppable Grand Theft Auto 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2 during its quarterly financial conference call. We learned that Red Dead Redemption 2 is now at over 38 million units shipped worldwide. Grand Theft Auto 5 is now at over 150 million units shipments. The Grand Theft Auto series has shipped over 350 million units cumulatively. The Red Dead Redemption franchise has shipped over 60 million units cumulatively. Of course, the online portions of both games also showcased strong performance. No shock there. Just keep telling you that number keeps going up and
every time you hear it, though, it's like you do have to take a moment to go, man, that is unlike anything else we've ever seen, right? GTA 5. This is actually kind of a nice addendum to the conversation we just had about, you know, where you ship a big game so you can ship the next one. You can become so, very rarely happens, GTA 5 may be the only example of it, but a game can become so successful you don't need to ship the next one. Like, Rockstar's thinking, yeah, GTA 6 will get to it one day, but like, who fucking needs it? Like, we literally wouldn't know where to put the money. Like, they already make so much money just doing all the, you know, the online stuff and the DLC content for GTA 5. People keep buying it. They're still buying it. Like, each new generation grows up and discovers GTA 5 and plays it. Still looks good after all these years. For a game that came out, when did GTA 5 come out? I can't remember, but it was in the PS3, Xbox 360 13. Generation. It's now in its third hardware generation on consoles, and it's still
2013
insanely popular.
That's the thing of, you know, to double back a story to how Taylor Lyles at IGN signed off, right? And rumors suggest that a new entry in Grand Theft Auto may release within the next few years. Like, that's how far out you're padding that statement. Now, and this isn't Taylor. This is literally people being like, well, yeah, I'm sure they're working on a GTA, but like, why would they get in the way of this thing that people keep buying and keeps charting and like keeps making that money hand over fist? Like, don't worry about it. Number four on the Roper Report, though, Gary, Master Chief is in your car if you want him. This is Eddie over at GameSpot. Google's Waze service has teamed up with Microsoft for a Halo-themed takeover where Master Chief will give you driving directions in real life to help you get where you're going. You can drive with Master Chief and have your real car visualized as a Warthog, or you can ride with Ashuram, the Banished War Chief, giving you directions as your car is displayed as a ghost. The Halo Copilot feature, as it's called, is available in English, Spanish, French, and Portuguese, and it features what sounds like Master Chief voice actor Steve Downes himself giving you directions and saying things like, in half a mile, turn left. The Halo Takeover is only available for a limited time as part of the effort to promote the launch of Halo Infinite this year.
Greg, give me your Master Chief again.
Let me go to the classic line. In a half mile, turn left.
It's not bad.
It's not good.
It's fair. I mean, I want you to know that, like, and when I go to the Greg Miller audio files, whereas, like, and my wife will tell you today, I made her, she tried to skip a song on Alexa. I told her to go back because that was the Undertaker's bong. And she's like, how do you know that's the, that's just a bell. That's just a bell ring. And I'm like, I know it's Undertaker's bong. I don't know what song this is, but it's boom. Like, I know what that is.
It's a very specific pitch.
You've all seen me dead to rights on many a live react. Be like, oh, that's Nolan. Oh, that's Floyd.
I haven't watched wrestling in years. That used to be my favorite thing. You know how, like, whenever big wrestlers have their intro and
Undertaker's music plays, parallel.
Whenever we used to hear that first bong and the crowd would go wild, and like, oh, we're in for some shit.
Yeah. Anyways, though, all that said, I know what Master Chief is. I'm like, Cortana, I'm fucking stupid and I'm running around shooting things.
Why are you talking like Rocky?
The problem I've always had with
I gotta stop it. Look at the triangle thing. And the triangle thing's like,
the problem they've always had with Master Chief is that he's such a cipher, you know?
Yeah.
Helmet, can't see his face, can't emote, can't ever be expressive. And even in the voice, it is that just kind of, yeah, let's go. Like, it's just kind of like, no one's really, like, if you actually knew that person in real life, be the most boring fucking
person. He's the most vanilla, parsley person. And I get it because you want it, I'm Master Chief. I'm running around with this stupid needler thing. This is cool. They want you to be
walking. Hey, the needler's fucking cool. All right, Greg?
He's just so fucking stoic. There's like no personality there. It's a tough one. I like the Halo games, but I do think there's a bit of a personality vacuum.
Yeah, when we're talking about the first one, I feel
that's,
like
that's why I think that Halsey and there are other characters in the Halo universe that are far more interesting than Chief. But no, I mean, look, it's we said it before, right? 20th year of Halo, 20th anniversary of Halo, 20th anniversary of the Xbox this year. You are going to start to see now the real power of a multi-billion-dollar company's marketing division going to full overdrive. You're going to get, you know, Master Chief Frosted Flakes. You're going to get the Axe Body Spray. We already saw some of it last year. Remember when they thought it was coming out last year?
Yeah, but it was too
late to pull the merch. So we got a good preview of it. Yeah, you're going to get the GPS voice. You're going to... It's going to be, you know, get ready for a lot of Chief and Halo shit over the next few months. Like, not just in video games, but like at the local market, fucking everywhere you go.
Car washes, Halo car washes will be happening everywhere. Yeah, you'll be able to get it wherever you want to. And if that wasn't enough Xbox news to end the show, number 5 on the Roper Report, we have a brand new Xbox controller color. It is Aqua Shift. If you want to toss it up, or you probably are. Sorry, I'm covering up with the live feed. There it is. You're nailing it, Barrett. I apologize. This is from Xbox. As we continue to dream up new designs and find new ways to delight our fans, we are always looking for ways to elevate your Xbox gaming experience. Well, get ready to take your Xbox wireless controller experience to a whole new shimmery level. Today, we announced the Xbox Wireless Controller AquaShift Special Edition for your holding pleasure. AquaShift features a surreal color-shifting blue shimmer that you need to see to believe. Playing with the way the prismatic color moves across your controller, you'll feel like AquaShift comes to life in your hands, inspired by the fantasy that gaming brings into our lives. We know this mystical beauty will add that magic your controller collection needs. Dope ass controller, Gary. Are you buying this? Are you in?
Yeah, we were saying before the show went live that I got sucked into a little bit into collecting Xbox controllers now. I just went and got the Electric Vault one, you know, that really kind of really aggressively lime green one. I really like that. I have like 15, 20 Series X controllers sitting around. The last thing I need right now. I know.
It hasn't even been a year since the console.
He hosts an Xbox podcast. Let him be.
I can see 5 of them just on my desk here. Jesus. I mean, they're fucking
I have 4
everywhere.
Of them. I've only owned the Series S for... what, a week and a half, and I already have 4 controllers. I feel like it's too much.
I've never really collected anything. I could see myself like being a collector of these because I do have a few hard to get ones that, you know, that aren't always available, like the special edition influencer ones and stuff like that. And it's like, I get it. The gap between need and want, it's a vast chasm. But that's okay. Sometimes, you know, look, everyone's, it's been, this last year has been miserable. Let me have some nice little treats. Let me have a controller if I want it.
Here's my thing for you. And this is obviously me on the outside, right? I'm over on the PS I Love You PlayStation 5 side looking in. I got my all black controller, my DualSense, right? That PlayStation wasn't lucky enough to finally let me purchase and let the world purchase. They actually sent me mine for free. But here's the thing is I get it. This is a beautiful Xbox controller, but you guys have the Design Lab. You have the ultimate ace up your sleeve. Like, that's where I would be wasting all my money. And I have two Design Lab controllers bouncing around here. Yeah, actually, they're both on my desk. I got my Can't Cook one, of course, supporting XCast Paris Lily, of course.
What was the color scheme thinking there, that kind of monochromatic scheme?
I like black and white a lot. I don't want to get hot. Crazy with them, right? I like it to be simple. Yeah. And that, my original one was this Game Over Greggy, blue and
the
white.
Classic to be blue. I like that one. Yeah, the kind of funny colors. That's
the Greg Miller blue, as a lot of people say.
They do. Everyone knows blue is my favorite color. And when you think it kind of funny, you think who's the biggest fan of blue? You think of Andy, then you think of me.
Yep. We did two design labs. I did one in my Tottenham Hotspur colors, kind of navy blue, white, and yellow, which I thought looked good. My kid, she loves purple and pink. So she did one that was all purple and pink. That's her controller now. And yeah, the design lab is great. I wish Sony did something equivalent to
everybody
it. It would be
does.
Brilliant if
everybody
they, if they
wishes
could,
that.
If they could match that. Because their controllers are, you know, again, I think in the controller wars, Sony kind of has the edge with the technology right now, with the DualSense and the haptics and stuff. Definitely. And overall, I think it's just a better looking controller. But, you know, like it took them, the PlayStation's almost a year old now. And they, here's a red one and a black one. Like, it could not be less imaginative. Whereas Microsoft's pumping out, like, interesting stuff all the time and go design literally any one of, like, I don't know, like a trillion color combinations, make it your own. And then stuff like this, you can't even get in Design Lab. But this kind of aqua thing I've noticed in technology, the color shifting thing where you hold it up to the light and it changes from like pink to purple.
Yeah, it's got like glitter and stuff.
Whatever.
Like, that's not available in Design Lab.
Well, you can't do it in the Design Lab. And it's very, very, I think it's a very popular, if it's what I'm thinking of, it's a very popular thing in cell phones right now. Like, a lot of Android cell phone manufacturers have these very kind of shiny reflective backs that are a similar color. And when you hold it up to the light, you know, it kind of changes. It almost has that kind of lenticular. You know, there's old lenticular cards that would kind of change as you would hold them up to the light from different angles. So I just see what it looks like. It does sound like there's almost kind of like a motion effect or a kind of reflective light effect. I think it just looks cool. It's a seductive color, aqua. It's kind of like it's got like a toothpaste-y kind of aqua fresh kind of vibe to it. I mean, I'm down. I'm going to get one.
Well, you can pre-order it now. It'll be available August 31st. $70 is the price.
By the way, did you see the McDonald's PlayStation 5 controller that they had to pull? What the fuck was that?
Oh, man, I have no idea how that happened. The Australian McDonald's posted a dope-ass McDonald's PlayStation controller saying they were going to give them away, and PlayStation's like, we didn't agree to this. Yeah, they're like, you know what? You did. We're sorry.
And by the way, I'm sure they said that's a fucking whack-ass ugly controller. You're not putting that shit out there.
No, that controller was dope. It was so bad.
It was so bad.
It was kind of good.
Exactly.
My favorite thing was a bunch of people saying, I like it, but where are the chicken nuggets? They kind of felt like they left out the chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Give me some chicken nuggies, you know?
You got to have some nuggies.
Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? I want that McDonald's controller. I'm sure they'll come to their senses and sell it, but that's going to be so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and shop, grop, shop, 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 where would I go, Gary Whitta?
The official list of upcoming.
We are off the fucking rails today, and I'm having a great time.
It's one of those days. The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Out today in Sound Mind on PS5, Xbox Series X/S, Switch, and PC. Castle of Pixel Skulls DX on PS4. Hunter's Arena Legends, PlayStation 4, PS5. That is a PlayStation Plus game. Dragon Star Varen, Switch. Here Comes Nico on PC. Memory Lane 2 on Switch. Illicit Action from Red Dead Online. Blood Money continues this week with the next opportunity from the Jewels of the West series taking shape in Rhodes as the Il Sorvano, a precious yellow diamond, makes its way through the state of Lemion.
I just want to point out, it's Dragonstar Varnir. I think he said like Varnum or some shit, some made up shit, Greg. What was that?
Varnir. I'm punishing myself.
So oh, no, Varnier. Don't punish yourself. Jesus,
that
Greg.
Must be punished. That must be punished. Price of Power, Thane Coop. And the sixth season of Journey have arrived in Gwent, the Witcher card game. And The Ramp, affectionately known in some circles as Tiny Hawk, is dropping into PC today. New dates for you. Art of Rally will come to Xbox One, Xbox Series X, Game Pass 4, console / PC, and Switch on August 12th. And then The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners Aftershocks update is coming September 23rd. If that wasn't enough for you, I got deals of the day for you. Xbox announced Game Pass updates for the month of August, or at least so far. Curse of the Dead Gods is coming August 5th to cloud, console, and PC. Dodgeball Academia is coming to console, cloud, and PC August 5th. Looks cool. We were talking about this on PSLV yesterday. Katamari Damacy Reroll comes to cloud, console, and PC August 5th. Lumines Remastered. Yeah, Lumines, as I called it for a long time. Comes to cloud, console, and PC. I can't recommend it enough. That's also August 5th. Skate and Skate 3. Skate comes to console, EA Play August 5th. Skate 3 comes to cloud, EA Play August 5th. And then Star of Mancer comes to game preview PC August 5th. Art of the Rally, as I already talked about, cloud, console, and PC August 12th, which is weird that I said it was coming. Oh, no, I didn't. I noticed that date. I'm fine with that. Hades comes to cloud, console, and PC August 13th. And then Microsoft Solitaire Collection Premium Edition comes to PC August 17th.
Yeah, give me some Solitaire, Greg.
Get in there. That was always the jam. You know what I mean? Who didn't love some Solitaire? Gary Strike is a big
Solitaire. Didn't ship with every Windows PC?
Of course it did, yeah.
I mean, I think it still does. I guess it's nice to have it on console if you want to play Solitaire on console. Hades, no, obviously, Hades is obviously the big one. Last year's game of the year across the board. I never played it. I've been holding out for the Xbox version. So I'm looking forward to seeing what all the fuss is about with Hades. Don't sleep on Lumines. I had that on the PSP. Wasn't it the pack-in game for the PSP back in the day?
It wasn't packed in, but you should have bought it. Anybody title, with paste, right? Anyone it was a launch, with, yeah, it was. It was a launch.
Because there wasn't anything really good for the PSP at launch, but that was like the thing that everyone got.
Hot Shots Golf, brother. All right.
Not at launch.
Wasn't it? I bought my PSP late, so I bought it in the summer.
I remember the launch lineup for the PSP not being great. Lumines was the one that I got. I remember the thing about Lumines is it has great music. I remember that Philip Glass music. It's really good.
Dude, and this is dudes and dudettes and people who are just people. Yes. For 100 fucking percent, get Lumines on Game Pass.
I don't think it's a great game. I think if you're looking for like in the vast realm of like Tetris wannabes that are out there, I don't think Lumines really distinguishes itself as a game.
You're a psychopath.
Everyone remembers the music.
You are correct that Hot Shots Open T did not ship with the PSP. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I think I'd throw my PSP in the trash by the time that the those fucking UMDs. Whose idea was that?
It was Universal. I had Ghostbusters on UMD. Doesn't matter. They were universal. They could play in anything. That's why they call them UMDs. They were universal. God. Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around Dink Dink the Globe. Here we are in You're Wrong, seeing what we got here, all right? Kebabs writes in and says, reminder, Greg, you said you'd read the Song of the Deep novelization to your kid. Kebabs, does it shock you to know I've already been doing that? It is on the bedside table, and once in a while when I put Jen to bed up there because she goes to bed so early, I will lay there and read the book to her belly. So, in your face, Kebabs. That's nothing. I like this one. Kebabs also wrote in and said, Greg's Xbox controller from Design Lab that says Ka can't cook is black to tie in with Ka's cooking. And that's a pretty great.
It's burned?
It's burnt. Yeah,
wow.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I like that. And then Psycho Retros 2 says Apex Legends Season 10 is out today. I should have said that. You're right. I should have. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily in the bank. We're not done working. We're going to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and give you a post show. If you're watching live on Twitch right now, you can get ready for Mike, Nick, Blessing, and Bruce Green to head to the Olympics. If you missed that live stream, maybe you're listening later and want to check it out, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, our brand new YouTube channel, to see all the archives of the streams. Tomorrow, you're going to see the return of Imran Khan to Kinda Funny Games Daily, who will host with Blessing. Thursday, it's Tim Tam. That's right. Timur Hussein from GameSpot is back. And then Friday, me and Tim will close out the week. For now, it's time to say goodbye to Gary Whitta as he gets ready to go do the post show. Gary, do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, everybody.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.